I'm Zed.
And I'm Grace.
And this is season 5, episode, I want to say 9.
Yes.
Hey, that's right. Okay. I'm proud of me. I don't know what it's called.
One, maybe two ways out.
Okay. I will say most of this episode takes place like in a sort of outdoor setting, so there are many ways out.
Yeah. Okay, so this episode aired September 8th, 2010, and the synopsis is a U.S. government spy seeks Sean and Gus's help in clearing her name.
That's not even a little bit what's happening, sure. I mean, it is a little bit what's happening, like, but not very much.
That's like the beginning of what she tells them, but so many things happen.
It feels like there are better ways to write these synopsises every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just, there's probably a better one on, like, Amazon Prime, but I don't.
I'm gonna pull it up.
Okay.
All right, you keep going.
All right, so this was written by Andy Berman and Todd Harthen and directed by Mel Damsky.
Okay.
We had a guest star back.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay, I have the Amazon summary. You want it?
Yeah, read it.
Sean and Gus find themselves in the midst of a Bourne identity like hunt and chase after a U.S. government spy seeks their help in clearing her name for a crime she supposedly didn't commit. That's a better synopsis.
That's pretty good.
That's a better synopsis. Someone actually took the time to watch the episode before writing that synopsis.
That's pretty good. Okay, so we had Nestor Carbonell back as Declan.
Yep.
My enemy.
Your enemy? Yes. Specifically your enemy?
I hate him so much.
He's all right. Kind of a smarmy butthead, but like he seemed better in this episode.
I do like him better in this episode. I was like, wow, I actually kind of like him in this episode.
Yeah, he's better now.
Yeah. C. Thomas Howell as Agent Camden Driggs, which he looks so much to me like Timothy Oliphant, but like
50 years older?
Yeah.
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 Kind of like a Crypt Keeper version of Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant gone bad. John Grease as Stravinsky. Franca. Oh gosh.
Show me.
Franca Potente. Franca Potente as Nadia. She doesn't have a last name. She's just the first one.
Potente?
No.
Nadia. I was like. You Nadia. Literally just had me read her yes, last name. Yes, what are you talking yes, about?
And then Terry Chen as Tom Fong.
Okay.
So I did not take notes because fun fact, while I was watching this, I was eating chicken wings and yeah.
I didn't take notes because I watched this episode 45 minutes ago.
No.
And it's really early in the morning.
Yes.
So I woke up and immediately just turned on this episode because I knew we were recording.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like not doing it last night in the middle of the storm. There's a big storm last night. There's been storms like all week. And it's sort of hit or miss on whether I will lose power at any moment for one of those. So
it wasn't that bad of a storm at my house, but maybe it was here.
It was in downtown, which is where I was when it started.
Oh, true.
So when I got home, I was like soaking wet. And I was not in a place to turn on anything and do anything. I was like, I'm going to curl up under some blankets and hope the power doesn't go out.
Yeah. So, okay.
The dream.
The dream.
Not losing power.
So, trivia.
Trivia.
Sean makes numerous references to the Bourne movies. Guest star Franca Potente was in the first 2 Bourne movies. How many are there?
There's like 7 of them.
Oh my God.
I don't know. My parents are really into him.
There's a pineapple-shaped pencil holder on the filing cabinet. I guess near the whatever.
Near the click-clack balls?
Yes.
Yeah.
When Nadia meets Stravinsky at the cabin, she assures that Sean and Gus are okay in German. Stravinsky replies with one word, and that one word means STD in German. I'm not reading that.
It means what in German?
No, it means STD, but I can't. That's too long of a German word for me. No.
But you took German.
Geschlecht.
Also, they're all compound words.
Geschlecht. Okay, whatever.
Geschlechtlichkeit.
Whatever. The exchange between Sean and Agent Driggs, where they are claiming they can catch the spy in 19 hours, 13 hours, etc. And Sean finally says, find that spy. It's a reference to the classic game show, Name That Tune.
Sure.
Contestants would
We know that that
would compete, claiming they could name a tune in five notes, three notes, four notes, three notes, etc. Okay.
So Wordle. They have a version of Wordle that's that, but it's for music. Because some of the band kids at church play it, and it's horrifying to watch.
Yeah.
Because they'll, like, have one note, and they'll be like, I think I know which classic random, like, marching tune that is. And I'm like, you guys are... there's a lot going on. Thank you.
I play that tune on when it's the radio, and I always know the song, and it's kind of scary. I'm like, how many times have I listened to 97.1 The River?
That I use Siri for that. Siri knows it within a couple notes.
Okay. In the previous episodes, there have been mentions of Val Kilmer in the movie Real Genius. John Grease was, he was in the movie. Okay, cool. When Sean is in the park pretending to read the newspaper, the front page of the paper is the same as the paper, and Sean gets the yips.
Well, that would be because the props department has made one newspaper. Yep, they made one newspaper, and they said, we won't need this very often because this is a show set in 2010. And then they somehow needed it multiple times.
Oh, no. After determining the clue on the card is the Phoenix Constellation, Sean remarks that Stravinsky is in Alabama and Gus says Arizona, correcting him. While the most popular Phoenix is a large city in Arizona, there is indeed a Phoenix City in Alabama, which itself has a dark history involving mob killings, racism, and corruption.
That's because it's Alabama.
Although Sean's guess is ultimately wrong, it's not necessarily a completely bad guess, even if he was just joking. I don't think he was wrong, though. I think he just knew about Phoenix, Alabama.
I think this is one of those cases of Sherlock doesn't know that the world goes around the sun. I think this is one of those cases where they're like, we're going to set him up to have a lot of knowledge, and some of it is wrong because... Or it's not common knowledge, because he doesn't think he needs to know the common knowledge thing.
Mm-hmm. Nestor Carbonell and John Grease both had roles on Lost. Terry Chen guest stars in this episode. 11 years later, Chen would guest star in A Million Little Things, which James Roday is in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what that is, and 11 years is a lot of time.
I know, like that.
How 11 years later, they both happen to be in the same thing.
Like, how is that trivia? At one point, Sean says to Gus, don't be fine, young cannibals, covers of suspicious minds. That's a reference to the cover. Yes!
That's a reference to the thing he said out loud with his mouth. I love that for them.
How many more can you... Juliet mentions that Sean and her brother have some sort of bond. The bond is over Juliet. What does that mean? Oh, spoilers.
Spoilers for the episode that's already passed, huh?
This was the first episode that Sean and Juliet kiss.
Was it? I thought they kissed in that one a couple seasons back. Was that not a kiss? Did I misremember that?
Are you talking about the Bounty Hunter episode where they, like, almost kiss?
Maybe. I thought they kissed.
I don't know.
Sure. I'll trust the pedantic idiots.
I think the season 3 finale, she kisses him on the cheek.
Oh, okay. That counts. That's a kiss.
Know, right?
It's got the word kiss in it.
Right?
On the cheek is also in there, but it's a kiss. The kiss? The kiss? John and Joe's kiss?
Okay, this is... See, Thomas Howell was also on... Criminal Minds. Cool. Whatever.
Everyone is on Criminal Minds.
Everybody.
And NCIS.
Everybody.
And CSI Miami or whatever. Like, everybody is on those.
Okay. And for Goops, Agent Driggs passes Tom Fong twice when exiting the surveillance van. Beautiful. I love it.
Cool.
Immediately after Nadia blows up the government computer, you can see the USB drive that she was using still in the USB port. After the commercial break, Sean finds the burnt USB drive on the floor. Yes, it ejected itself.
It just flung itself across the room, obviously. You know what I think would be really funny?
What?
She obviously didn't take the time to properly eject that device since it had to fling itself across the room. I want all of the files on it to be corrupted because she didn't eject it properly.
Right? When Sean and Gus are standing still in the beginning scene, the amount and shape of the ice cream on their cones changes back and forth. Yes, I know this.
Yeah, that's because the actors are eating the ice cream before it melts during the shoot.
Yes. In the scene in the woman's restroom, Nadia takes off her backpack. The camera angle changes as she takes it off again. Yes.
Yeah, that happens.
While talking to Nadia in the park, Sean's hand jumps to his chin between shots. Yes. When Juliet comes out of Declan's shower in her bathrobe, she's telling Declan that she just used up all the shampoo, but her hair is dry. Maybe she dried it.
Maybe she's very into blow drying her hair. I doubt it, but like...
Whatever. At one point, Nadia says there's an F-14 inbound to shoot down their helicopter. At the time of airing, the F-14 had been retired from service for 4 years by the U.S. Navy.
I love that that is a specific issue they have.
Iran has been the only country to operate that aircraft ever since. Cool. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, that's... Yes, I also learned some fun trivia about the song that's playing while they kiss. It was written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards.
Okay.
Like, uncredited.
Huh.
That's wild.
Aren't they usually pretty aggressive about crediting themselves for things? That's weird.
I know. So, I don't know what that's about.
They owe somebody something.
I'm just like, did they write a good song accidentally? Did that actually happen?
I don't remember a song playing.
Okay.
I don't know how you hear songs in the backgrounds of things. Like, unless it's really intrusive, I don't notice when they're playing music and things. Like, I'm actually listening to the dialogue or, like, distracted by the things in the background of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, music who? What are you looking for?
I'm looking at the song.
Mm.
What, okay. I can't find anything. I think they actually released it as a Rolling Stones song, but it used to be a lullaby. Okay, sure. Why not? I don't care. So, yes, I did not take notes. We should go to the next thing.
All right, so neither of us took notes.
I think I liked it.
Yeah. I thought it had a lot of, like, issues that were issue-y.
What issues did you have?
I mean, I've watched too many of the, like, actual Bourne movies for this to be
exciting.
Even a little bit compelling.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess it's all right, but I don't know. Like, it felt convoluted in a way it didn't need to be when it should have been more convoluted in a different way.
Really?
Yeah. Like, when you are actively on the run from things, like, why are you in Santa Barbara and why aren't you leaving Santa Barbara?
What I don't understand is he doesn't want her to find him. Stravinsky doesn't want Nadia to find him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves her a clue about where he is. What?
I mean, he leaves her a clue just in case she needs to find him.
I know, but then he's upset when she finds him.
Yeah. I mean, if I had just left somebody, like, a clue for somebody, like, 2 weeks ago, and they suddenly showed up 2 weeks later, I'd be like, that was for in the future, not 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Like, I would be pissed off about that, frankly.
Well, if you're living in the woods... Why are you moving to an apartment, like, so close by?
Yeah, no, that. So, if you are, one, fleeing your safe house, why are you moving to a safe house in the same, not a city?
You move
large town.
States.
You should at least move further away. Like, even if it's within California, because California's pretty big, move further away. Like, it's really worrisome. So, and also just the, like, general lack of spy actions. Like, okay, if you're being chased by somebody.
Yes.
First off, why are you wearing all black in what seems like kind of the summer in California?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? You're making yourself look like a spy on purpose for funsies.
It would make more sense if she had, like, a motorcycle. That was her motorcycle gear.
Sure.
But like, even then. She doesn't.
Like, have a... Okay. Mm-hmm. The thing I hated the most.
Oh, no.
Why is she in the fucking vents? Why is she in the vents?
Why are the vents in every single TV show so large?
They're large enough for a full person to fit through. They're apparently secured enough for a full person to move through without them collapsing. Thirdly, when... Okay. I thought they were going to do it right. Do you know the moment I'm thinking of? security guard like nods at a lady who from the back looks exactly like Nadia.
Okay.
She's wearing regular business attire. She's walking in like she works there. The security guard like nods at her like, hey, I recognize that you work here type of thing. You have a badge.
Yes.
And then they hard cut to her in the vents. And I'm like, oh, so that wasn't her doing her job as a spy and blending the fuck in.
I know.
Which she's very bad at.
What's bizarre is she has to go to this guy to get into the thing, but she doesn't even get into the thing. Like, he can't get her in, so she's like, oh, let me go to the government building.
Yeah. Not only
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't you get somebody else to do that for you so they get nailed and you don't?
Yes, that is generally what you do in a spy thing. Yes. It's like, it's mostly, like, blackmailing people into doing things for you.
Yes.
Blending in so that you aren't, like, identifiable. So when she was like, it's about anonymity, and I'm like, yeah, you're really bad at it. first off, okay. So...
Mm-hmm.
I watched too many spy thrillers.
Yes.
I've been to too many exhibitions about spy stuff.
Of course you
have. It's like a whole thing. I read a lot of fiction that does involve, like, international crime.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Her accent is so identifiable.
Yes.
And she makes no move during this entire thing, even when she's supposedly undercover, to hide a single moment of it. So it's really obvious she should not have been in Bolivia to begin with. Her accent is Eastern European. Her accent is Eastern European. She's not good at hiding it.
No!
So she is obviously supposed to be stationed somewhere as a covert operative in Eastern Europe.
Yes, why is
where
she
would blend in. Why would you send an Eastern European operative to Bolivia?
See, what I don't understand is there's this one part where it sounds like they had to, like, re-record John Grease saying, like, Bolivia, so... It kind of makes me think that it wasn't originally Bolivia.
The flag at the beginning that was on fire, I'm 85% sure was the Mexican flag.
Yeah, wait a minute.
So, like, when they were like Bolivia, I was like, was it the Mexican embassy in Bolivia? Like, that was my first question. But, like, she's not supposed to be there. She's bad at being subtle. She's obviously supposed to be, like, long-term stationed somewhere in Eastern Europe because... That's where you put people who have naturalized accents.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
You don't put them in South America unless they are South American, because that's how spy works. Like,
yes.
Dumb as all get out. I'm very irritated at them. This is why I was like, yeah, I was okay. But, like, I have so many bones to pick with it that the more I think about it, the more my brain is on fire. It pissed me off so bad.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
I do like that Gus refuses to get rid of his ice cream cone to the last minute. Like, he jumps into the water with the ice cream cone.
All right, I'm going to look up the flag.
I'm looking at it right now.
Are you looking at the one in the video?
Yes. Okay. I'm fast forwarding.
All right.
Because.
Well, I mean, since it's in that weird, like, black and white bluish, that could be it.
I mean,
it looked really much like, it looked a lot like the Mexican flag.
Yeah.
All right, time for me to pull it up too. You're going to have fun editing this.
Whatever. Nope. I remember being at the beginning. Where is it? What the hell? I can't find it. Am I stupid?
I find it. There is no sequence in this where she's not. Okay, yeah, that is the Bolivian flag.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like 3 seconds in.
Okay.
There is no sequence in this where she's not dressed as a cartoon spy. Pisses me off so much.
I don't. And, like... I get that this is a comedy and they're trying to...
Sure.
Yeah, but...
No, but, like, if they're going to have an episode where they're like, we're going to try to be serious, even when they're being goofy goofs around the serious, we're going to involve the federal government. We're going to involve international government. They try nothing past that.
One thing that drives me insane.
Uh-huh.
So Sean and Gus are being chased by a helicopter.
Yeah.
He identifies the men in the helicopter as if he could actually see their faces enough to...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
There's also that.
That's, no. Like, they were the ones in the helicopter. Really?
Really? I mean, you could assume that, but also you shouldn't assume that because most people don't do field work like that. Like, the fact that you had the same two agents the entire time doing, like, their own field work, even though they're supposed to be in charge of it, was bizarre to me also. Like,
it also
smacks of a cover-up.
What drives me crazy is Jules is talking about how, like, she's surprised about getting access into the government building, but wouldn't she have some sort of clearance being a police officer?
They do. They have.
It's like, honey, aren't you?
I mean, it's state clearance and not federal clearance. I know. So, like, they definitely have some sort of, like, ID that they can show to get, like, a temporary pass.
Yeah, I'm just like, you all of a sudden don't have clearance to go here.
Like, state officers work with federal officers every so often. And so, like, there is a process of them getting clearance.
Yeah, it just doesn't. She's like, oh, government building. I'm like, honey, do you know what you are?
People in cop shows like to pretend they're not government. They like to pretend they're, like, some sort of lawless bounty hunter.
I'm just like,
they're government.
I'm just like, you know what your job is, right? It's to uphold the government.
Or whatever.
Or whatever, yeah.
Bizarre. Anyway, yeah, no. So weird. So weird. Just cartoon spy Nadia.
Yes. Ugh. And then all of a sudden at the end, she's like into Sean. I fully thought that she was trying to like feel him up to get like a bug or something. See if he had, if he was bugged. Like that's what I thought she was doing. Yeah, I would be
too. But like, my other thing. Even if she was kind of into Sean and she's like, now I can flirt because I'm safe. Which, sure.
Did she not notice the giant van in the background?
That final sequence bugged me almost more than any other sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much work it takes to hoist someone upside down anywhere by yourself? And he's obviously by himself.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And when they're like, how do we get you down? How did she get up there? How did he do that?
I don't know.
I know it looks good for like your like whole staging of the thing or whatever. Logistically, it makes zero sense.
It
drives me so nuts. The entire time I was like, how? How did he do that? And then when they're like, how do we get you down? I'm like, okay, so they acknowledge that this is ridiculous. But they like, acknowledge also, that it's difficult.
There were multiple cops that did not attempt to get her down.
Uh-huh.
They just like left her.
Yeah. That also is very funny to me, where like her bosses are like, we haven't cleared you because you're still being subpoenaed. Maybe we'll just leave you up there.
Also, the only evidence that they have that Tom Fong did it was he had two watches.
So many people wear two watches! So many people. I mean, like, he definitely dug his own grave by, like, stringing her up to torture her. Like, that's the other evidence they have, because nobody does that unless they're, like, doing something.
True.
But, like, just what evidence? And also, why?
I don't know.
It's so dumb. Like, okay. Third issue.
Yes.
Fifth issue. Mini issue.
You have so many issues.
I have so many issues.
It should just be called Zed's issues.
Yes. All right. Why was Tom there in person holding her at gunpoint in Bolivia? Why was he doing that?
I don't know.
Why was he there in person holding her at gunpoint when she is always armed and also a spy? Either he really wanted her to get caught or he really wanted to die.
I don't understand.
He's like 3 feet from her in that photo.
Yeah.
And they're all like, we're pretty sure she did this. And he's like, Yes, it was definitely her.
But I'm just like, okay,
so
a different camera angle.
Different camera angle. And based on that camera angle, from what I can tell from the other, like the intro shots or whatever, he was standing closer to the Bolivian embassy.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's probably on the camera footage,
but what
looking
he,
like he's
he
mugging
have,
her.
He would have been investigated because he was there.
Yes.
Also, do these global currency certificates even exist? Are they a real thing?
I don't know. That feels Googleable.
Yeah.
But like, why is he fucking there in person?
I don't know.
like, why is he not working on, like, a blackmail system? Like, you know, you receive a scary phone call from an unknown number, and it's a, like, disguised voice. And right? He's like, we have this information that you did this, this, and this. We have this thing on you. And she's like, crap, I'll do whatever to erase
it. Wouldn't you do, if you're doing something like that, wouldn't you, like, not involve yourself with it?
Yes.
Like.
Especially if you are actually a spy, which he is supposed to also be.
And it's just like, these are federal agents, but they don't know the other federal agents that they met. Or the other, like, who are these people? I don't know. I don't know. I really liked seeing John Grease in this episode. I think he always does a really good job. I mean, the two things I know him from, Napoleon Dynamite and also Pretender.
Mm-hmm. All right, so technically speaking, global currency certificate doesn't exist, but a foreign exchange certificate seems like it exists.
Okay.
An FEC is a tool for foreign exchange control in countries where the national currency is subject to exchange controls and is not convertible. So if you have a company in,
but is it like a physical certificate?
Yeah, it's like steal? A piece of paper.
Okay.
So
okay.
If you have a company in a place that has like a weird exchange rate, okay. You can pay your employees in these certificates, okay. And then they can go exchange them at the bank.
Yeah.
Because then, like, the company doesn't have to convert their money into okay. The local money.
Okay.
They can just pay them through some sort of, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's like a back channel thing. It seems like mostly it was used in the 1900s. I'm going to sound like my students. In the 1900s. When we were born.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's like the 1930s to 80s. What are the examples coming up?
What crime do you wish that she would have been accused of other than that? Because I feel
it's like a bond.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
What crime do you wish she was accused of other than that one? Because I feel like they could have done this a little bit better.
Okay, so she's in Santa Barbara, California, on a hunch that a different spy told her that there was an investigator who could help her with something undefined, right?
Yes.
First off, weird pull. Like, I don't know what...
She's friends with Ewan O'Hara, so that's how she gets Sean and Gus's information.
Yeah.
So that's why she's in Santa Barbara.
So she's there for that.
Yes.
So she would need to be in Santa Barbara for, like, reasons relating to Ewan. Like, that's the thing that would make this acceptable.
Yeah, so what's a crime that involves Ewan that she's
trying... also kind of a spy? So, like, yeah. This would have been a good episode to bring him back.
Right?
First off.
Every episode should have John Cena in it.
Yeah. I think theft is stupid, and most spies don't do it in the way that they're putting in this. Like, it's mostly information theft.
Exactly.
So, some form of, like, secrecies trading would have been, like, interesting.
Or maybe she, like, leaked military information to...
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a big thing.
That's a big deal. Like, you will get marshaled for that.
Oh, gosh. There was, like, military information that was, like... leaked via, like, Discord a couple months ago. That was
crazy. Pentagon thing.
Yeah, the Pentagon
thing. Yeah, that
was
wild.
That was crazy.
So, okay, but I don't see how they would need Sean and Gus for that.
Exactly.
Because they're really only good at solving physical crimes, which is why they had it be a physical theft.
And the whole thing is that she needs to disappear.
Yeah, but she's making the most noise.
She never makes an effort to actually disappear.
Yes, because she's always dressed like a cartoon spy. She never changes her appearance. Like,
she... goes in herself.
Yeah.
To the place where the people who are gonna...
Which is bizarre. Because, okay.
Why would
the
you
way
do
this
that?
Would work better is if she's being accused of, like, selling information.
Yes.
And Ewan reaches out, like, even over the phone.
Yes.
To Sean and Gus being like, hey, I'm pretty sure she didn't do this. Could you guys help?
Yes. And then Ewan helps erase her.
And then Ewan is helping basically be the point of contact. And then Nadia is there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it in flashbacks where she's, like, changing disguises in the background.
I love it. It's like, oh, he would... That,
like,
no,
that would
one,
be very funny.
That one episode of Community where they have, like, a Jack Black.
Yes.
And
he's just there the whole time. Yeah.
And then they never mention him ever again.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so good.
Okay, so, like... having her actually be a spy, bringing back that UN connection other than bringing him up once.
Yes.
If there is, like, because they really obviously wanted to do a Bourne Identity movie.
Yes.
And the whole thing on that is that the agency has a mole that's, like...
Spoiler, so...
Have you not seen the 20-year-old movie?
No!
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
I think I might have it on DVD somewhere.
The first two are good. But after that, they kind of go off the rails with, like, their writing got a little lazy at certain points. Interesting. But, okay. So, what they need is... I've lost my train of thought. They need somebody to, like, be dragging them through this thing where, like, they don't have any physical evidence. Mm-hmm. And they also don't have clearance for any of this. Yes. And then the reason why she ends up getting away is because Sean and Gus are the people that she's sending in, basically. Like, she's tricking them into going in and finding information for her.
And also, how did she get into the computer?
Also that. Like... What they needed to do was to trick our two idiots into being the people who commit federal crimes for her. International crimes, even. Because they think they're helping. Like, and they've done that before. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they don't do it now. Anyway.
I don't know either.
There's my 20 minutes of ranting about what's wrong with this episode.
Yes.
Yeah, it had potential. It did not live up to that potential.
No, it never does.
It never does. It's upsetting how much it never does. Anyway, what do you think of this episode?
Oh, did it?
I don't know if you actually answered that. I think I took over way too fast.
Yeah, because I asked you a question.
Yeah, I know you do that.
I liked it. I mean, I don't necessarily need it to make sense. Like, I don't really...
Yeah, I've learned that about you, actually.
Yeah, I'm just like, I guess this is happening. Cool, whatever. I'm just here for the vibes. I don't really pick it apart like you do.
I pick everything apart all the time because I need my life to make sense.
Okay. Mine doesn't, and I just go with it. Yeah, there's things that I don't like about it and things that drive me insane every single time. I don't know why they're in a helicopter trying to
Right? Why are they in a helicopter to begin with?
I'm just like, are you going to shoot her from the helicopter? Like,
what's their plan? She's in a place with a lot of civilians.
She's on a pier with the ocean. What do you think is going to happen?
So dumb.
Just like, oh my God. So I don't know why that's happening. I wish it wasn't. I know that you probably hated the... Oh, one thing that makes me really mad. Okay, so Sean is all upset because Juliet is dating Declan.
Yeah.
Who she met last episode. Apparently, so much time has passed that the one date has happened and... I'm assuming they've been dating for like a month or so, you know?
Yeah, they're going on vacation together.
Yeah. But I'm just like, he's all upset and he cannot fathom the fact that a grown woman spent the night at her boyfriend's house and took a shower.
I don't think it's that he can't fathom it. I think it's that it hurts him emotionally to think about.
And he's just like,
because he likes her.
He's like, that didn't happen. I'm just like, oh, honey.
Yeah, he's being emotionally immature because he doesn't want to think about his crush spending the night in another boy's house.
I know, but I'm just like, baby, you are fully in your 30s. Can you not do this?
Well, I thought eventually he handled it kind of maturely where he's like, I just want her to be happy. And
yeah,
it's like, that is gross.
That is gross. I do like his little speech that they have him say when she's...
listening in. Oops.
Yeah, oops.
Oops.
Yeah. I do like the people confessing things while they're mic'd. It always cracks me up. I'm just like...
I have a mic at school, right?
Yes.
I'm so paranoid about that thing. I don't know how other people aren't paranoid about their mics.
Like,
I don't know. Maybe it's from doing theater, but like, I'm always very aware if I have a live mic on.
Exactly.
Like, I don't say jack shit that could like get me in trouble for nothing if a kid heard an echo through a door. Exactly. Like, That's, yeah, it's weird to me that people just say things when they're on mic.
Like, because even if I'm not mic'd, like, I still feel like people can, like, hear me when I say stuff. I'm just like, oh. Yeah, so, I think it's a little, I hate that Jules is going on vacation with this guy, but she hears Sean's love confession and she just, like, kisses him.
Yeah, like, she obviously really likes Declan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so she should not be having this, like, I'm 12 and I'm in love with two boys sort of, like, moment here. Like, she should be better than that right now.
Like, I don't necessarily consider it, like, cheating per se. Because it's just, like...
Kissing somebody while you're dating somebody else is kind of cheating unless you've talked about it ahead of time.
True. No, but it's just, like, oh, like, caught in the moment something, like, whatever, like... Okay, but it's
never
just...
once have I kissed someone because I'm caught in the moment.
Exactly.
I have never done that, ever, regardless of dating status.
Okay. That's okay. Not... Okay.
It takes way too much thought to smush my face into someone else's face.
True.
Because it's gross. Their spit is touching my spit. I hate that. It's okay. Gross.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, whatever. But it's just like, it's not necessarily like, but it's just so bizarre because. She's in Declan's house. I'm just like, you're switching.
Yeah. I was waiting that entire time for Gus and Declan to come down the stairs, like, they finished the bidding type of thing, and, like, walk in on that in a way that would cause a lot of issues.
Because, like, she doesn't, like, let him know that she heard what he said.
Yeah, she just sort of kisses him.
Yeah.
So as far as he's aware, she's happily in this relationship, and now she's suddenly kissing
right?
him. Like, unless Declan's cool with that. He seems like maybe he would be cool with that, but
he
also
cool,
like, we
mean,
don't know that for sure, and it's also 2010 and a lot of people are not cool with that in 2010.
No.
Like,
I just
it's so weird. Anyway, I don't like how Juliet will, like, occasionally just be kind of boy crazy. It drives me a little bit nuts.
Yeah,
like, all right, now that we've picked this episode to shreds, did we have any audience interactions?
Yes, we did.
Yay!
So when I posted the fairy tale episode, I posted a picture of Sean and Gus on the ferry.
Sure.
With the caption, I forgot my bag, because Sean looks like he forgot his bag.
Sure.
Yes, I got the caption from boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Every so often, I'm just like, I need somebody who, like, has no context for this to just do the, yeah. So, I got a comment from Virginia. Actually, I got two. One says, that show was so funny. And then one says, don't forget your seasick patch. And then
all 12 of them.
Yes. And then Grace says, Gus's face, heart eyes, emoji.
Grace,
we love you. Come on the show again.
Grace, stop thirsting after Gus on the public page.
No lesbian Grace. Why do you love Gus?
To be fair, Gus is maybe an exception for some people. He's sweet enough.
Gus's baby. yeah, so I have, that's all of the... Yeah, that's all I have, but yay. I love it. I think we've had Virginia on our page for a very long time.
All right. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Virginia.
I forgot to say where to interact with us. All right. If you would like to interact with us, just like all of these people making hard eyes at Gus on our page, Grace. If you would like to interact with us, we are on Instagram as Delicious Flavor
Podcast.
There we go. We are on Facebook as Delicious Flavor Pod. We are on Redbubble as DF Podcast. We are on TikTok as Delicious Flavor Podcast.
Yes.
We drop new merchandise every month on the 7th on our Redbubble. So
yes.
Go check there for some hyper specific, very weird merch.
Yes.
I think that's all our socials.
I'm pretty sure.
We used to have more, now we have less. Oh, you can also interact with us on what is now Spotify for Podcasters.
Yes.
They have a voice memo feature, which we still don't know if it works. I'm going to assume it doesn't.
I'm going to assume that it does work and that nobody cares enough. Or
I'm going to assume that it doesn't, because I thought Grace said she would send us a voicemail.
I don't think she ever did.
Okay, Grace, send us a voicemail so I know if it works.
Here's what I think happens. I think people, most of the audience doesn't make it towards this part of the episode because they like just
fair
zonked out
mood,
so yeah,
really zooted. All right, well, just come interact with us in some way, shape, or form. It fills me with joy.
12% non-binary though, that's
fun. All right, final thoughts, that's where we're at.
Final thoughts: spy, cool. Could have been executed better. I wish they would have done a little bit more with, like, John Grease rather than...
Every time you say that, I think you're about to say John Green. Every time.
Fair.
Kirkland Brand Hank Green.
Makes me laugh so much.
Yes.
Like, the cultural shift.
Yes.
Of where Hank is now the beloved brother. I love it.
Bizarre.
I love it. All right.
Anyway, yeah, I think they could have definitely changed some stuff.
I think Declan is a plot device and it drives me insane.
Yep.
Because he was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
This episode, like, oh, he has his own chopper.
It's fascinating that he's just sort of the deus ex machina now, where we're like, we need something, go to Declan's house.
Exactly. It's just like all of a sudden he's your rival, but when you need him, it's like, yeah, sure, why not?
I think he and Sean should kiss.
Yes.
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 All right. More final thoughts. Keep going.
I'm really curious as to what all Declan has planned for the, trip. Because they never really tell us what he, like.
That's true.
It's just like, are you going to go, like, wine tasting or something? Like, what is the...
It's the coast. Maybe they're just going to the beach.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
Rating?
I would give it 7.5 love confessions via bugs out of 10.
All right. I think it is not a beginner-friendly episode.
No.
I think it's barely a experience-friendly episode. And I think I would give it a 6 fried flash drives out of 10. Mm-hmm. Like, it's super mid. It obviously had some, like, very rushed plot points.
Mm-hmm.
It shoehorned in an entire, like, jealousy plot line that didn't really need to be there.
Yeah, because it was already in the previous episode.
And they're obviously, they don't know what spies do. They don't know how to write spies.
Even like, though multiple people from this episode were in the spy movies.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, they're not writers. They're actors.
True. So
they don't get that much of an input as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It, yeah. 6 out of 10 at best.
Okay.
Maybe a 5.5.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Yay.
Well, I've been Sid.
I've been Grace.
And this has been an episode of a podcast. I hope you enjoyed.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.